And so anyways, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Now, as you know, our kids in Children's Church are doing the same thing that we're doing here. We're going through the book of Acts. They're going through the book of Acts as well, okay? And so I think God dovetailed this so that we could take flight together as a church. So I want you to turn to Acts 3. And Acts chapter 3 and 4 is somewhat the same story that's going on here that we call the healing of the lame man, right? The healing of the lame man by who? By Peter and John. I would like to begin, as is our custom, by reading the first 10. How many fingers am I holding up here, Ab?
You don't have any more than that.
10. Thank you. The first 10 verses, and to read that, and then some supporting verses to help our star shine all that much more, okay, when we get done. But look at what it says here. It says, one day, Peter and John were going to the temple, or going to church at the time of prayer. Very important. I have that double underlined in my Bible, time of prayer. And so as we know, we kick this off by looking in chapter 1 where Jesus said to them, you're going to receive power. Jesus was about to ascend into heaven. The church is about to be launched. That's you and me. To do God's thing. And he says, to do my thing, you got to be filled with power. You got to receive power. So that's what's going on here. And we see that the power is directly tied to what? It says they went up to church to do what? At the time of prayer. At the time of prayer. And it says it was in 3 in the afternoon. It says, now a man crippled or lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts, from those going to pray. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. And the man, thinking that he was about, I got their attention, about to drop some money into the basket, expecting to get something from them. He got something from them. And he says in verse 6, Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. And so the guy stands up, and then Peter and John are standing. Can I borrow these two guys? Come up here. Stand here with me for a minute. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Oh, it's like, so Peter and John, the guy stands up. Peter and John are here, right? We'll make you Peter. Fits. John. And it's like, and it's like, so the guy gets up, right? He's healed. Oh, and the guy says, oh, thank you. Really appreciate this. Thank you so much. Boy, I got my legs back. Thank you. Hey, we'll see you guys. Thank you. You can sit down. Todd, you got to get this, Todd. If you got to help me, okay? You ready, Todd, for this? P-R-O-N-K-I-N-G. P-R-O. Just bear with me for a minute because I forgot to give this to him. But we're family here, so. P-R-O-N-K-I-N-G, YouTube. And then P-R-O-N-K-I-N-G, and then S-P-R-I-N-G-B-O-K, two words. P-R-O-N-K-I-N-G, the next word, S-P-R-I-N-G-B-O-K. Oh, what am I doing? You can't bring it up. I knew there was some reason why I didn't give it to him. There's no audio. I just killed me. And anyways, okay, so here we go. Okay, so, no, it says, what does it say? It says, take it by the hand, by the right hand, he helped them up, and instantly his ankles and his feet became strong. And it says, what did he do? He jumped to his feet. He began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, continuing to do what? Walking and jumping and praising God. The video that I was going to have him show was of a deer that, if you ever seen this, I've seen it before. Just a deer, like, you know, like an animal let out of the cage. You ever see a deer prance and jump? And some of those antelope in Africa just jumping, you know, just jumping around. That's the idea here with this guy. I mean, he was so electrified that he could not contain the miracle that God just wrought, that God just worked in his life, and he just couldn't contain it and went jumping around the place, praising God. This is what it says. Let's continue to read. And it says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. So there was credibility here. They knew that this was the guy, and they saw something real that happened. This was real. And they could testify because they saw with their own eyes. And it says, by the gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Filled with wonder and amazement. Now, turning over to chapter 4, same story. We have here now, as a result of this, this layman, this cripple getting healed, and the great stir that it caused, okay, this great stir that it caused, that the followers of Jesus got in trouble for doing this good thing. Can you imagine that? That God works a miracle through these followers of Jesus, and there are people who don't like it. There are people who don't like that. Now, you find this all the way through the book of Acts, and of course, we find that we read the Gospels of the story of Jesus, right? And I just want that to sit in the back of our heads. Because, you know, sometimes we have this idea, well, if God does something big, everybody's going to like it. No. Let me say that again. No.
You're a parent, right?
Okay. So here we have this going on. Now, that there are those who didn't like the miracle, and they're calling these followers of Jesus, Peter and John, into question, okay? At the end of the book, they get so ugly that they threaten their lives, okay? But here, I want to draw your attention to these verses to hear a little bit more of Peter's explanation of what went on. Now, notice when Peter took him by the hand, he said to the man, what? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and what?
Walk.
Took him by the hand. See, we got to demonstrate, right? So here's the guy. He's there. He's crippled, right? He's down. Now, we're going to read a little bit later that this man was 40 years old. We're also told in the story, you're far from that, that he was born that way. This wasn't something that happened by an accident, that this was something that happened to him, whatever happened to him, that caused him to be lame and crippled in his legs, unable to walk, happened at birth. Okay? And so they walk up to him, and their eyes meet. Okay, their eyes meet. And this guy's expecting one thing, he gets another. And as he's grabbing him by the hand, he says, I don't have any money. He says, but what I do have, I'm about to give to you. I'm about to give to you. I'm about to give to you. And the guy continues to look. Now, this is important. This is important because the guy, he's never experienced this kind of thing before. Walking in, you gotta catch this. Walking in, right, people would give. And those going to the temple at the time of prayer, people would be there begging for money, and they would look upon it like we give money to the Salvation Army, Like we give money to other organizations, whatever. We look upon it as what? A good deed. Beneficial. We look at it as helping, and we want to do that. Well, that's the way it was looked upon. Okay, so this guy's expecting something. And Peter says, sorry. Now, at that moment that Peter says, I don't have any money, but I'm going to give you something else, the guy could have recoiled. He could have said, what? What are you going to give me? But in that, they latch on. He goes, he stays with them. I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give to you now. And this guy stays with him. What does it indicate going on in this man? Huh? Who said it? Faith. Faith is going on in this man that connects with what Peter is giving him. And what is Peter giving him? He's giving him what? In the name of Peter isn't giving him something that Peter is. Because he says later, right? This guy, he says, look at us. When all the people come, we're going to read it now. Peter, so there's faith that this guy connects. And when this man, when Peter says to him, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk, he stands up because there is power going into his legs, going into his ankles, connected by faith, and he takes off. Amen. Wow. It was a lot more than that.
That's like a battery cable.
It's a battery cable. And worse. It's like a lightning rod that gets hit, my friend. But you got to see this here, okay? Now, Peter elaborates the explanation to his detractors, to people who don't like this. Watch, what did I say? Are you with me, kids? Are you with me, kids? Stay with me. I'm going to come down there and slap you. Listen, watch. He says, so there, verse 5 of chapter 4, the next day, the religious leaders come together. They don't like this. They haul them in, and they begin to question them, and they say to them, by what power and by what name did you do this? Now, two things. They recognize power, and they recognize name. They knew what those kinds of things mean. We also understand what those two things mean. We do. I'm going to help you understand it. And so Peter answers the question, and notice how he answers it. Because this is what the book of Acts is about. This is what we've been highlighting. Then Peter, filled with what? Filled with what? Filled with what? Filled with the Spirit. Peter, filled with the Spirit, says to them, and he speaks into the situation, and he says to them, he says, listen, he said, If we're going to be called account today, verse 9, for the kindness shown to this cripple. I love that, the kindness. You know, there are people who believe that miracles by God in this kind of way no longer happen. There are people who believe that. Because it's like, well, that was then, this is now, and that is stopped. And I say to them, are there people still lame, still crippled, still in need of a miracle? Yes. What would be the greatest act of kindness done to them? A miracle. And so he goes on, and that's what he says. He says, listen, he says, then know this, you and all the people. It is the name of who? It is the name of Jesus Christ. I just want you to hear that. That's the name and inference. That's where the power has come from. Because this is what Peter says. As the people come, and in chapter 3, as the people come and to honor Peter and John. Because it was Peter the vessel through whom the power of God came. The people come, and Peter says what? Well, I'm gonna be writing a book, and we'll be doing a book signing. And by the way, you know, the name is Peter, P-E-T-E-R. When you write out the check, give the biggest amount that you can possibly give, because after all, the power of God, look at the way it just flowed through me. And Peter says, he straight-armed him, and he says, why are you looking to me, to us, as though we have done this? Peter recognized what? He was just a vessel through whom Jesus was what? Working, Ah, so who gets the credit? Come on, people. Come on, people. Come on. And so, and then going here in 4, we see this with Peter. Then look at this word right here. Look at this word here. He says in verse 15, verse 14, said they couldn't argue with Peter because the guy's standing there. And everybody knew this was a 40-year-old guy. He was carried there by his friends or his family, put down at the temple every day. They knew this guy. They could not deny the bona fide miracle of what was doing, because the guy who could not walk but sat begging is now what? He's not just walking. He's jumping and leaping and praising God. And there he is. Evidence. Evidence. And what does he call it? Look what Peter calls it. He says, what are we going to do with these, they asked. And his detractors say, everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle. An outstanding miracle. You see it there? And we can't deny it. We can't stop this thing. This man is miraculously healed. Miraculously healed. And so here we have it. I love that verse, and you could just, for reference, in Isaiah. Last verse of scripture that I want to draw your attention to. In your device, Isaiah 35, 6. It's okay to have a device to turn to as long as you don't become divisive. Thank you. And so Isaiah 35, 6. If you have a Bible, Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament, and 35 is after 34, as I say. But here in this verse is a tremendous verse, 35, 6, about the joy of the Lord, the joy of the redeemed, due to Jesus' continued ministry. And this is what it says in verse 6. Look at it there, will you? It says, as a result of what Jesus does, outstanding miracles, it says, the lame. What's it say? The lame will leap like a deer. Someone want to demonstrate? The lame, because I don't have, the lame, I dare not. The lame will leap like a deer. The lame will leap. And we see in Acts chapter 3 a fulfillment of this verse and of Jesus' continued ministry. Will you pray with me? And so, Father, as we're here, as we looked into your word, as we say some things, as we pray together now, that there would be that sense of leaping in our own hearts that will also affect our bodies, our minds. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Remember when Elizabeth got pregnant with John? And she visited Mary, the mother of Jesus, remember? And when they visit each other, Mary, as she's there, and she was, as we say, great with child. I don't know what it's like to be great with child, but you understand, one pregnant lady coming up to another. And usually, you ever see pregnant ladies meet? One's walking like this, you know, and the other one's, you know, sitting down, the hands folded, and it's like, well, they meet, and it's like, how are your ankles doing? Swollen, you know, right? And I mean, I've seen this. You know, I've seen this. And the interesting thing, when those two meet, Elizabeth stops as they hear each other, you know, stand at the gate. The custom was to call. Mary, it's your cousin Elizabeth. Are you home? Mary says, yes, I'm here. And at the sound of that, the scripture says, Elizabeth says, the child within me leaped for joy at the sound of that. Let's hold on to that. So, here we have, by definition, in this chapter, an outstanding miracle that happens. And I'm titling my message, I hope appropriately, The Lame Will Leap. The Lame Will Leap. Now, it's like, the lame will leap like a deer. I left that out. because Bob doesn't leap like deer. And if I tried, it'd be pretty stupid looking. But Bob can leap like Bob. This is Bob leaping. You know? The lame will leap like Bob. Come on. You see? Am I dropping something? Oh, that would have been good. And so the lame will leap. The lame will leap. I have a friend who recently had an accident, serious accident. He broke his back and cracked a rib. And he slipped. He was all alone at his place in Maine, nobody around. He went down, and he thought to himself, this is it. I'm in trouble. And so he's laying there, not knowing what had happened. And when he comes to, when the stars go away, he's able to pick himself up. It took him a long time to stand up. So he stood up, and he realized he made it to his place to go inside, and you know he did some things to realize he's not bleeding internally. He didn't call 911, didn't go to the hospital, didn't check it, whatever. He just kind of rode it out, went to bed that night, couldn't get out of bed without a lot of effort in the morning. Finally gets home, his wife says, "What an idiot." What an idiot. Goes in the doctor says, "I need to send you to an orthopedic. What you have done to your back," he says, "is impossible to happen without extreme trauma." So the way that he broke it, there was separation to whatever's there. And he was taken down a tree. The tree fell, then he fell on this protruding branch out of the tree onto his back down a hill. Traumatic. And also cracked a rib. Went to the orthopedic. The orthopedic says, he said, "This is incredible." He said, "This is amazing." He said that you would, he said, "This can only happen, the kind of blunt force that is so traumatic." You know, and then my friend, well, you know, ding, 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 you know. And so he said, "You know, the bad news is, the good news, we know what you did. The bad news is, there's nothing we could do for you. You know, it will heal, but you got to wear this brace. It's the only thing we could do. No surgery is going to help you, nothing." So he wore a brace. This was 4 weeks ago. I was with him for breakfast yesterday. He's up. His brace is off. He's coming. But he said to me this. He said, "No, I cracked a rib." He said, "Have you ever cracked a rib?" I said, "No." He said, "Have pity for anyone who has a cracked rib." He said, "I was in church, I don't know when it was, shortly after that happened, and he says, I sneezed. People thought I was getting blessed. I thought I was dying. Dying. Can you imagine?" Needless to say, he's still lame. And he said, "There are no visible, you know, there's nothing visible, whatever." He says, "It's weird." And nothing damaged, you know, except the separation of my back, whatever, no internal organs or whatever. But he's lame. He's telling me how long it would take him, you know, to get dressed, you know, how long it would take to get out of bed. And I didn't ask him other things. You're welcome. But I can, you know, only imagine how long it would take, how lame. Now, the man here in our story, 40 years, born that way. And we're talking a severe situation. And something broke in this man's life. Something is broken in this man's life, but was restored by the power of God. By the power of God, restored. And restored in such a way as no one could deny it. Restored. And so when Peter says to this guy, when he says to him, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, locating Jesus as that historical person who walked with them for 30-something plus years. When Peter identifies Jesus, what he is saying is, that same Jesus here now. That same Jesus then here now. You got to get this. That same Jesus there then here now. That same Jesus there then here right now. No, here right now. He says, when he says to him, and so what he is doing, what Peter is doing, he's connecting. He's connecting with Acts 1:8, first of all, but you shall receive power. Peter is saying, I have received power. Now, there's so much bad stuff that we can say about power. And there's so much, you know, bad stuff that happens in the name of power. We're putting that aside to see the good thing here, the receiving of the power of the Holy Spirit in the good way in which these men handled that power. And so they received that power. And they connect, Peter is connecting with that power and allowing that power to flow through his life, because if there's anything that our religion, that Christianity is not, it is not an empty, dead religion. It is not. It is powerful, power-filled. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here. We've talked about these things. I can't look at it. And so he's connecting with Acts 1:8, and he demonstrates, Peter is demonstrating that Jesus remains present and continues to work with us right now. This is what Peter is demonstrating. Because when he says, in the name of Jesus, you see, he's saying something. Now, we have acquired a bad habit of praying in the name of Jesus without any power to follow it. We've acquired a bad habit. And we use the name of Jesus like a magic wand. We think, oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And it's almost formulaic, is it not? It's like, well, I really haven't prayed unless I have said, in the name of Jesus. And that's wrong. Because it's not some kind of magic that we're throwing out of our mouths. It's not a formula when we pray. But as we learn here, and we see elsewhere, that when we live in, say, and use the name of Jesus, we are doing the same as I just said that Peter did. We are connecting, how? We are connecting by faith with Jesus, who is present now. So when he said to him, in the name of Jesus, there's something that arose in this man to connect by faith, that I'm about to receive something that is greater, bigger than a few coins in this pot. Peter, so that there's this recognition that Jesus is here to do something. He's connecting with that. See, by faith, forgive me if I get excited. I know I'm throwing you all off by being so loud. I'm usually so mild, meek, and mild-mannered. And so he's connecting. And not only is there a connection by faith that, no, Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here. But he is also, by saying in the name of Jesus, he is releasing the power of the Holy Spirit. That it's not just some formula. It's not just something tacking on to the end of a prayer that's going on here. But when he uses the name of Jesus, there is power associated, real, tangible, felt, demonstrable power in the name of Jesus. And that is released by Jesus. So, let's wrap this up. You ready? There are things that go lame in our lives. There's a zinger for you, huh? You think I was going that way? There are things that go lame in our lives. And they cripple us. And they make us sit in a beggarly condition. Powerless. There are things like that. The irony here is that it wasn't such a beautiful situation for this man, was it? The irony. He was at the entrance of the temple called Beautiful. What gate do I go? The Beautiful Gate. And there he sat. It wasn't so beautiful for him. And inwardly, things have become rather ugly when you're lame and crippled, right? And on the outward, it may look quite beautiful and presentable. And you're in real need. You're in need of an outstanding miracle. Nothing less than an outstanding miracle will bring you to leaping. Will heal what's lame or crippled in your life. There are all kinds of things that cripple us, that turn us lame. As lame as this crippled was for 40 years. As lame. Things like holding a grudge cripple us. Things like an unforgiving spirit cripple us, ruin us. Things like a bad habit, something that I give myself to and find as though I'm just tangled up in it and comes to the point where, what the heck, it's a bad habit, I live with it. And there you are, crippled by a bad habit. Doubt. Yeah. You talk about outstanding miracles as though they still happen. Well, maybe they still happen, but I doubt it. Was with a man this past week who's in his 60s. His wife came down with Alzheimer's when she was 50. When she was 62. We know what Alzheimer's is like. Some of you knows what it's like. He finally had to put her into a home after caring for her where he couldn't care for her anymore because he himself was came down with cancer. And his testimony is, we heard it, I believe God for miracles. A miracle for my wife to bring her in her right mind and a miracle for me. God answers prayer. What tremendous faith. Because although these things had happened to them on the outside, on the inside of this man, there was nothing crippled, nothing lame. Doubt. Fear. Fear is crippling. We know how fear paralyzes us, right? And we accept fearful things and fearful situations. Of course I'm afraid of that. When in fact it causes something within us to be lame and beggarly. And something that Jesus wants to heal in our lives. Shame. Shame. Shame is crippling, is it not? You fail and you take on this shame and it becomes worsened by other people have seen you fail and then they shame on you. And the crippling effects of that shame worsens and it makes you beggarly instead of beautiful. There it is. Shame. Compromise weakens us. That kind of half-heartedness, that half-hearted approach to who we are and what we say we are. And makes us lame. We wonder why something just is misfiring in our lives. Disappointments. Disappointments have a way of crippling our lives, you know. Something that we have held on to. Something that we had as a dream. And we thought, for sure, this is my destiny. This is my appointed way for my life. This is the path I'm on. That's what I'm going for. And it seems as though a detour happens. A roadblock that you crash into. And by that crash, you feel as though the dream dies and you're put on another path, and we'll call it the disappointing path. disappointed. And the disappointment cripples you. Never amount to that ever again. I ruined it. And those self-inflicted things, right? They're the worst. Easier if, you know, I wasn't culpable, if I didn't have to take the blame, but it was because of somebody else. That's easy, you know? But I did it. Yep. You know, how many times have you pulled your size, you know, 13 me out of your mouth? Yep, 13s. How many times, you know? And what is it that, you know, how is it that disappointment brought into your life because, you know, you have failed and didn't measure up? You know, I did it to myself. Stupid! You ever say that? You ever say that? Yeah. I have. And when I have said that, I've envisioned doing harm to myself. I'm serious. I have. It's like, I'm stupid. Give me a hangman's noose right now. I'm going to jump off this bridge, you know. How dumb. Ugh, how dumb. You know? And I see that brought crippling lameness into my life. So here's the deal this morning. We're going to close right now with prayer. If there's something crippling in your life, lame, what else didn't I mention? Anybody got another one? Huh?
Pride.
Pride.
Anxiousness.
Envy. Oh. Self-pity. The devil's babysitter.
Yeah.
Self-pity. The devil's babysitter. Jealousy. Greed.
I think you said failure.
Failure. It needs to be said again. Failure. So one of these things or another register with you. Would you put your hand up halfway? You know, anything register with you? You can put it down. Did you raise your hand? You didn't raise your hand? No, I'm serious. Did you raise your hand? Yeah. If you have to leave, I know it's past the golden hour. If you have to, you may leave. Nobody, it's like, you don't need my permission to go, ever. It's like, we're going to dismiss the service now. Well, no, you can go whenever. But at the same time, I don't want to lose this moment. I don't want to lose this moment. Todd, can you help her? Why? She's got no sound. Thank you, Todd. You just, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in the name of Todd, at our soundboard, receive power. These things are horrible things. They really do cripple us. And I want to pray. And here's the taking you by the hand and lifting you up right now. I'm going to pray that in a minute. And then to respond, to come and to pray for a while. I'll pray for you. But to look at it as to feel the Holy Spirit, to feel someone. Taking you by the hand. know, that whole gesture of taking you by the hand and lifting you up. I've had hands that have put me down before. I've had hands that have put me down before. I prefer hands that lift me up. And I just see Jesus in this place offering his hand to lift us up out of that grudge, out of that unforgiveness, out of those attitudes that we acquire about other people, about our spouses, about our kids, about our workplace, about a Governor Malloy. I'm just, you know, so I had in my mind's eye, it coming to this time of prayer, saying to you, you know, raise your hand. And as you raised your hand, coming to each one of you and going like this, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. For heaven's sake, walk in Jesus' name. Yeah, come on, you know. He puts his fist up. 80-something years, you know, puts his fist up. I love you, John. Amen. I love you. Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. And with that, to say, just come forward and pray. Let's see what Jesus will do. Let's see what Jesus will do. Let's see what Jesus will do. And so I want to invite you. I'm going to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, as it were, in the Spirit, I by this message, by this word, I would say to each one of us who lifted our hands, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Walk. Walk out of that lameness. Walk out of that crippling that the lameness has produced in your life, in this area, in that area, in the things that we've mentioned and more. Walk out of it in the name of Jesus. Walk out of it. So, Father, help us as we pray. And so I'm going to invite you to come as a way of responding to say, I'm getting up, you see? I'm getting up. Now, listen, I can count on one hand in the going on 7 years, 6 years that I've been here as pastor. Look at me. One hand. The amount of times in this church I've called for an altar call. I can count on one hand, maybe on three fingers. I'm calling for an altar call this morning. Would you come and pray? Would you come and pray? Hallelujah. Would you come and pray? Would you come and pray? Before we leave this place today, would you come and pray? You can kneel, you can sit, you can come, but just come and pray and allow Jesus, allow that thing in you to be broken, to be healed. Hallelujah. Jesus, here we are. Here we are, Jesus, in your presence. We take these moments out of our lives, Lord, to wait upon you, to ask that there'd be that releasing of your power among us, Jesus. We don't take it for granted, nor do we look upon it as something just, you know, flippantly. But Lord, we're humbled upon this holy ground this morning. The bad habits, God, the things that we mentioned, that there'd be healing that comes to our lives in that thing, in those things, Jesus. And then we find ourselves lifted up out of that, God. In Jesus' name we pray, God. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. Let your grace come. Let your grace fall upon us this morning, Jesus. Each one of us. Each one of us, Jesus, in this place. I know what it's like to respond. And I know what it's like to respond even though I don't go forward, because I've responded in my seat without going forward. So nobody's judging anybody here. You didn't come forward. But I am saying to you to respond, to identify the lameness in your life and receive from Jesus his hand to lift you out of it this morning. Would you do that? Would you do that, all of us? Yes, Father, in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Walk. Amen. Father, amen. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk out of that lameness, out of that thing that's there. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't drop it, whatever you do. Father, in Jesus' name, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. Walk out of it. In Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Thank you, God. We believe you, Lord God. We're believing you, Lord God. We're believing you for your grace to be at work in this place. We're believing you, Lord God, for your grace in this place. Hallelujah. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. And Lord, we're holding steady by faith. We determine to connect by faith with the power of God in our lives. To feel, to see, to know the brokenness as it comes in so many different ways, in so many different forms, in our lives and in the lives of people that we know and people that we love. And that the name of Jesus to be invoked over them, for them, would be a releasing of the power of God into their lives to heal what's broken. Father, let it be ever increasing in this place, that outstanding miracles, that outstanding miracles, that outstanding miracles happen among us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'll just close by telling this little story that I came across. It's told about Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century man of God, was a priest, a theologian. And he paid a visit to the Pope at the time. I think it was Pope Innocent IV. And when Aquinas arrived, as the story goes, the Pope was counting out money. And Thomas comes in, and the Pope looks up at him, and he says to him, "Thomas, the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" Thomas Aquinas, the great man of God that he was, looked at the Holy Father and said, "Neither can she now say, 'Rise and walk.'" Heaven help us, that we too should be able to count all those things that we enjoy and that enrich our lives, our ministries, our church lives and ministries. But we sadly lack the power of God's presence. It's not something that we whip off our fingertips. It's something that God graciously gives to us, and I believe that we grow into. But I want to tell you something. Take the projector away, but give me the power of His presence. Now, I want the projector. In fact, we're thinking about a big screen TV. Real big. Want that. But I don't want to lack the power of His presence. Amen, Father. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. God bless you. Go in peace. Come on. God is good. He's doing something with us. He's doing something in this place. He is. God bless you.